In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's my fault. It's not Peter's. I sent the thing in late. We're starting a new talk today on the divine life and living in the divine will. What does this mean? And Jesus explains very, very clearly to Louisa, this is much different than what we have had before. We've learned how to do the will of God through the saints, and we love the saints, and we're astonished by the saints. What this is now is this is the ultimate. It's to now to be sanctified. And this is the divine life of Jesus and Mary. And to possess this is what God wants for us at this time. And this is why everything in the world seems to be falling apart with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. Everything seems to be being dissolved right in front of us. And it's not doom and gloom. If you are going to build a house and you have a shanty, you tear down the shanty and put the new house in. This is what God is doing. He's giving everybody what they want. He has to do this now because sanctification is here. And it's nobody has it fully. Nobody has this gift completely. But our God is asking us to enter into this divine life of the divine will. And it's an offer. God is offering this to us. And it took Louisa 70 years of reading, studying, and putting this into practice. When Jesus says, when I am done showing you how to do this, you can come to heaven. And, you know, she went to heaven when she was, what, 81? Almost 82. So God has got great plans and we're in them and he's asking us to learn this, to study this. These are the lessons that Jesus taught Louisa. These are the promises. These are the knowledges. These are the prophecies of what is going to happen. So here we begin today with volume 4, January 9th, 1901. Jesus says to Louisa, what I want is that you be always united with me. So this is the first thing that Jesus tells us in this, about this divine life. It's to be one with God, to be fused with God, to be, what God wanted from the beginning. He breathed this Ruah of God, this breath of God into, Adam. And Adam could breathe back to God, God's divine, I love you. That's how he was created, image and likeness of God. And we have to go back to the DNA. What was Adam's DNA like? It was in the image and likeness of God. And Jesus said, when Adam fell, he fell from such a distance that it was a miracle that he survived. And what does our DNA now say? It basically, we get old, we get gray-haired, we get wrinkled. And we become food for worms. And that's not God's original plan. So because of Adam's sin, Jesus and Mary came to earth. The new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary came to earth to what? Bring us back to that universal life that Adam lost, that Catholic life that Adam lost. And now, 2,000 years later, he's breathed this life into Louisa. And he says, okay, now I'm going to show you how this sanctification is going to take place. This era of the third fiat is going to take place. And he says, I as God want you to be always united with me, like a sun's rays, which remain always fixed at the center of the sun. Okay, he doesn't want us just to be the reflection. That's doing the will of God, this reflection of the sun. He says, I want you to participate in the sun, like the sun rays, remain always fixed in the center. which receives its life, its heat, its splendor, right from the center of what the sun is. Suppose that a ray, Jesus says, could depart from the center of the sun. What would become of it? Immediately after leaving, it would lose light, life, light, and heat. It would return back to darkness, reducing itself to nothing. Such is the soul. As long as the soul remains united with me in my center, Jesus says, it can be said that the soul is like the sun's rays, which live, receive life, and receive life from the sun and goes wherever the sun wants. So here, this new beginning is what God is calling us to. This new beginning of living in this life, this light, this love is what God is asking of us. So the Lord is looking at us and the Lord is saying very clearly how much he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. And the wonderful thing is it's a gift. And with this gift, Jesus says, most souls cannot possess it, will not possess it. I don't know how many times, I mean, let's look at the gift of the Eucharist. How many people don't want to spend time with Jesus? Here we see God as Catholics. We see God in the Blessed Sacrament. And this love, this light, this life of God that he wants to breathe in us, he wants us to fall in love with, because Jesus is there in a hidden manner, in a mysterious manner, in this great mystery. And most, if not all, don't want to spend time with Jesus. And I really do believe this time of Advent, come, let us adore him, is a call by the angels. Come, let us adore the Lord. That's what the angels are doing all the time. They see how beautiful, how holy, how perfect he is. This is a gift. This is the gift of gifts. God wants us to receive him as our food, as our life, as our nourishment. And like he said to the apostles at the Garden of Gethsemane, would you stay with me one hour? Would you stay awake with me? Most cannot, will not refuse to even consider it. And so this is the same thing with this gift of the divine will. The gift of the divine will is not just saintly, good, and holy. That's volume 1 through volume 10, but living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit and receiving back again, the divine inheritance of the Father. This breath of God, this rule of God will bring us to the point where we will return to the image and likeness of God. Okay, so Jesus says, if the ray would depart from the center of the sun, it would be returned to darkness. He says, such is the soul. If the soul is united with me, Jesus says, in my center, and this is what Jesus is teaching us, it can be said that the soul is like the sun's ray, which lives, receives light from the sun, and goes wherever the sun wants. In sum, it remains at the complete disposal at the will of the sun. And if the soul distracts herself, and if the soul disunites from me, Jesus, there the soul is, all in darkness, in cold, without feeling within herself that supernatural spur of divine life. So the Lord is showing us that he wants to give humanity at this point more than what humanity had until this point. This is the era that we've entered into. And if you love Our Lady of Revelation and go back to what she said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And when we look at what Our Lady said to Father Gobi, everything's completed. She said this in 1997, Christmas of 1997. Everything is completed. Everything is done. Well, what's done? What's completed? The gift of the divine will has been given. The fullness of it found in the Book of Heaven is now offered to humanity. If you look at Our Lady's apparition, she's always saying, "Get ready for the return of my Son." The kingdom of God is very close, and Jesus says, to prove that it's very close, he says, "I give you the Book of Heaven." So as we read this, as we study this, as we enter into this life, this light, this love of God, this living in the divine will, it's a supernatural spur of divine life that God is offering to us. And again, nobody possesses it completely. We're all in this together. I like to compare it to an Olympic sized swimming pool. We're all in, some are in the deep end, some are in the shallow end, and the water's filling up slowly. It's just slowly. We're learning little by little by little this great gift. We're all in it together. And as the water goes up, we begin to feel the sensation of the water. In a similar way, wherever we are on earth, as we begin to read the volumes, little by little, we're in the same pool. We're going to learn how to possess this. And this is why we have these readings. Jesus wants to teach us. So in volume 4, February 19th, 1902. So the attention of the soul must be on seeing Jesus, seeing me, he says, on conforming to the interior operations of Jesus, the Word in everything. So in this great gift of the divine will, it's not just to follow the holy humanity of Jesus, what he did exteriorly, but now with this great gift of the divine will, I want you to enter into the interior operations of God in everything, in your every thought, every word, every deed. So the three powers that God has given us, our intellect, memory, and will, are there to help us surrender to what our God is asking of us. He says, the attention of the soul, okay, be attentive, he keeps on telling Louisa. The soul must be on seeing Jesus. Okay, this is the reason why, "Oh, come, let us adore him," is so essential today. The more that we spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, this attention that we have, it's not, you don't go to adoration with a book of prayers and sit down and just da 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 da. We go, and St. Teresa says, if you can't think of falling in love with God, if you can't want this desire to fall in love with God, she said, yes, read a little bit, but then focus on God. You know, read a little bit and then look at Jesus in the Eucharist and adore him and love. See, the four things that we have to do in front of the Blessed Sacrament is to adore him for 15 minutes if you're there for the hour. Be contrite, sorrow for your sins for 15 minutes. To thank God for all that he has done in the church, in your life. And then finally, for 15 minutes, and finally for the last 15 minutes, to supplicate, to pray for certain things. But it's the first part is always to adore him. So when we genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we say to him, "You're my Lord, you're my Master, you're my King, you're my God, you're my all. And I'm here to get close to you, to be attentive to you, Lord." And then the next 15 minutes is, "I'm really sorry for the way I've lived. I'm sorry for the human family, how we've lived." And this is a place where we repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is what Jesus teaches Louisa. And then thanking God, repairing and redoing, because Jesus says nobody thanks him. Nobody thanks him for the Son. You know, we go out and we say, it's too dark. We go out and we say, "Oh, it's too bright." We go out and say, "It's too cold. It's too hot." We're always complaining. No one is thanking God, you know. So this is what the rounds do. When you pray the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, what Jesus and Mary went through. When you pray the rounds of creation, it's you're falling in love with God. You're beginning to hear, smell, taste, touch, and see all the divine I love yous around you. And You breathe that I love you in. You begin to experience the I love you of God. And then you breathe it back with God's divine I love you, not with human I love you. See, this is the divine life. And Jesus is going to get into this as we enter into this gift more and more. So the attention of the soul must be on seeing Jesus and on conforming to the interior operations of the word Jesus and everything. That's why Jesus says, every word that I speak is a divine life. It's infinite. It's a library. And what we're doing is we're spending our focus on each word as we read, each word as we study, each word that we put into practice of Jesus with our interior, our intellect, our memory, our will. So God wants us to bring about this great and new divine way of living. And it's his life. It's our lady's life. So our focus is on Jesus and everything that he thinks, said, and did. And now everything that we want to think, say, and do. So our whole life is glorifying God. That's heaven. That's heaven. So Jesus says this. Because when I, Jesus says, draw a soul to myself, it can be said that at least for the time in which I keep her in my presence, the soul lives divine life. We live in, with, through, and for him. And this is what God is looking for. He's looking for us to begin to surrender to him in such a way that we begin to live this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied about. So he says, my light is like a brush with which to paint. So here Jesus is saying, as he tells Louisa, I want my children to become my divine masterpieces. He begins to change our dreariness, our drabness, with these brushes of light, of love, of life. And he says, my virtues provide different colors, and the soul is like a canvas, and the soul receives the portrait of the divine image of God within herself. Exterior is what we've been following for the last 2,000 years, the exterior of Jesus. And now Jesus wants to paint the interior life of us. What Jesus did interiorly, how he thought, how he spoke, how he lived. Why was he doing this? What was the reason for all of this? That the Son of God came to earth to be born of the Virgin Mary. And what the angels say is, come, let us adore him. Come, let us spend time with him. If we make this that commitment and during Advent of being with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, being with our Eucharistic Lord, looking at him in the monstrance, our whole life changes. And he draws us closer and closer to him to receive what? The portrait of the divine image of God reappearing in us. Adam lost it. Jesus and Mary come to redeem us so that we can receive it back again. So we have been redeemed, but now what Jesus wants is he wants us to begin to live this. Volume 4, March 2nd, 1902. My daughter, the one who nourishes himself with faith acquires divine life. Okay, so what does Jesus say? Your faith has healed you. Your faith in what? Your faith in Jesus. See, this positive attitude that we are called to live is God is in charge and I trust him. The final devotion given to humanity, Jesus says to St. Faustina, the final devotion is Jesus, I trust in you. So with this desire to be one with Jesus, he says, it's your faith. To nourish yourself with faith, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Your prayers are powerful in the divine will. I've experienced that you're praying for me. I've experienced this. The prayer that that's coming, this faith in God that he's asking us to enter into, it's divine life. And Jesus says, by acquiring divine life, the human destroys the human life. Now, this might sound strange at first, but that's where Jesus says, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. If you hate your life, if you surrender your life, you'll live it. You'll begin to live life. So by acquiring divine life, okay, see, we use our free will. Our free will is neutral, if you want to say. Here's the human will, where you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, and sinning. That's what we confess at baptism, at penance. This life of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. We've mentioned this before. When you worry, okay, people have said to me, oh, Father, you don't understand. I have to worry about my family. You know, they're far away from the church. I have to worry about. No, Jesus said, stop worrying. Does it add one moment to your life? He says, of course it does. And then he says, stop worrying. So what does he want us to do? It's confidence in him. Jesus, I surrender my family to you. I consecrate my children to your Sacred Heart. I consecrate my children, my grandchildren to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You are my Savior. Mary is my mother and queen. The new Adam and the new Eve, and I trust you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. I put them in your hands, and I'm going to let go. I'm not going to be their God. I'm going to offer them to you, Lord. Please heal them. God goes, good. And I'll do that. He says to every person, the woman who was suffering for 18 years, when she touched the tassel of his cloak, the hem of his garment, his tillet, she said, if I could touch his tassel, I will be healed. Why? She read in Leviticus, the hem of the garment, the tassel of the garment of the Messiah will heal you. So when Jesus said, who did this? He knew who did it. He wanted her to say, I did this. And then he says, why did you do this? And he basically, because you are the Messiah. I believe this. And he says, your faith has healed you. See, our faith in Jesus, we have to trust in him, even if we don't see it. I remember the first person that I prayed for. This was years and years and years and years ago. The person died. I gave up everything. I've given up this. I've given up that. I want this person to be healed. And I know, God, you can do it. And the person died. And I said to the Lord, this doesn't make sense. You said, ask, believe that you receive it, and it is yours. Why is this person dead? And basically what I got in prayer was, the person is perfect in heaven now, perfectly healed. See, our understanding doesn't match divine understanding. And this is why God wants us to acquire divine life. Acquiring divine life gets rid of the human understanding. So the human will is misery. If you're worried, you're feeding the demon of worry. You're keeping it alive in you. If you're fearful, you're keeping the demon of fear alive in you. You're feeding it with fear. If you're complaining, you're keeping the demon of complaining alive in you. And this is what Jesus says. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's not how I live, Jesus says. He says, you must live a peaceful, joyful life, and I'm there, Jesus says. This is what he tells Louisa. So our job is to get rid of these demons. I was at a conference in Japan where that was said. It says, we're going to see the demons that we've kept alive in our life, all our life, and the demon and the Spirit of God we've pushed away. And when we look at this, this is one of the reasons we go to keep on going to confession. There are certain habits, there are certain lifestyles, there are certain obsessions that are not of God. And we're slow learners. And if people say to me, I go back and I confess the same thing over and over and over. Yes, we haven't been freed of it yet. We haven't turned to the Lord completely. We haven't destroyed the human inadequacies, the human miseries that are alive in us. We haven't gotten to the point of the life of Jesus, the life of Mary, which this is what God wants for us. So when we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, we're keeping alive those demonic, those demons. We're feeding them. Jesus says, with worry, does worry add one moment to your life? He says, of course it does. And then he says, stop worrying. This is a command from Jesus. So when we worry, and we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, this is one of the things that we can be contrite about. Lord, I'm really sorry for worrying. I'm sorry for not trusting you. I'm sorry for complaining. I'm sorry. I don't believe that you're my God and my Savior and my Lord completely. I'm sorry for anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin. I'm sorry for this, Lord. I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid these near occasions of sin. So when the evil one says, oh, you got to worry about this now, it's like, no, I trust Jesus. No, you gotta be angry about this. No, I forgive. I trust Jesus. Jesus said to Louisa, you have to have the heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We have to have this. So he says, to destroy the human is destroying within himself the germs which the original sin produced and reacquiring the perfect nature of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary, which came out of my hands similar to me. Jesus says, this is how I created Adam. And I want you to reacquire the perfect nature, the perfect human nature that God originally planned for humanity. That nature that came out of my hands similar to me. And by this, the soul comes to surpass the very angelic nature in nobility. The divine nobility that he's reclothing us. That's why when you wear your scapular, when you put your scapular on every day and you kiss your scapular, you should be saying, Our Lady said, this is the clothing of heaven. This is the garment, this is the military garment of heaven. This is the garment of nobility. I want to re-enter into and reacquire the perfect nature of humanity. So when you're confronted with something that is opposite of peace, joy, and happiness, you say, no, that's not part of my life anymore. And I want to repent of that. I want to repair those, that worry, that fear, that anxiety, that complaints, that negativity, those doubts. I want to repair all of this in the Holy Divine Will in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. See, as this time of being contrite is you go through the life of all of humanity and say, Lord, this is what we are. We've fallen so far. We're worse than the animals. Lord, I want to repair this. As you did on Calvary, as Mary did on Calvary, I want to be one with you, Jesus, one with you, Mary. I want to surpass, as Jesus told Louisa, the very angelic nature in divine nobility. See, the angels see what's coming. This is a poor way of explaining it, but we are basically in the third dimension. That's not true, but we're like, this is to explain it. The angelic, the demonic are in the fourth dimension. They're superior to us at this point. But what we're going to is the divine will, living in the divine will, which is like the fifth dimension. Once we enter into this, the angels are servants of God and servants of the children of God. And this is where it says in scripture, we will judge the angels. These are the fallen angels. What's coming is this divine nobility. So this little piece of cloth that we wear around our neck is symbolic of the divine nobility that Jesus is going to clothe us with. So volume 5, March 24th, 1903. My daughter, the one who wants to always be in my holy divine will, keeps my very person within himself. We're never separated from Jesus. It's always Jesus. How is everything going? Well, you know, when we recognize something beautiful in creation, Jesus, this is so beautiful. Let me adore the Father as you adored the Father with this one, like a mountain or a stream or a leaf on a tree, a blade of grass. Lord, thank you for this. This is so beautiful. This is so loving of you. And I want to thank God, the Father, as you thank the Father, as Mary thanked the Father. I want to enter into this prayer, praying the rounds, in as you did, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and worshiping God. My daughter, the one who always wants to be in my divine will, keeps my very person within himself. Jesus, this heart of mine is your throne. I want you to dwell with me. I consecrate this heart as your throne. I don't want to ever be separated from you. See, this falling in love with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament is so essential. Come, let us adore him. And even if the soul goes out of my divine will, Jesus says, since I created him free in his will, we have that free will, my power operates a prodigy by administering to him continuously the participation in divine life. We experience this every time we fall out of grace. God keeps us alive. Since I created him with his free will, my power operates a prodigy by administering to that soul continuously the participation in divine life. So it's a life that God wants us to enter into. He says, I'm looking for the souls who must live in my divine will. This is what he has planned. And he's looking for us. Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say fiat, echoing Our Lady? Are you willing to say fiat, echoing Jesus? Not Father, not my will, but your will be done. Because of this participation, the soul receives, the soul feels such strength and such attraction of union with my divine will, that even if he wanted to go out of it, he could not. He could not do it. He's talking about Luisa. She has surrendered to him so much, so powerfully, that even if she wanted to go out, she couldn't. See, the love of God is so great that's supposed to be reigning in us. As he says, this power operates a prodigy, administering to the soul continuously participation in divine life. The soul keeps his very person alive in himself. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. If you go look up, I think it's 2 Kings 2, verse 4. The woman's son died. How's everything going? Everything's going great. She trusts in Jesus. She trusts in God, believes in God, hopes in God, have confidence in God, even though tragedy hit that family. Volume 6, November 10th, 1903. My daughter, true love forgets himself. True love lives of the interests, of the pains, of everything that belongs to the beloved. True love forgets ourselves and lives on the interests of the pains of everything that belongs to the beloved. He's our beloved. Mary's our beloved. The new Adam and the new Eve is our beloved. Now we have the newborn living with the beloveds, one with the beloveds. And Jesus is asking us, are you willing to enter into this life of the beloved? I have one sister that I know, she always talks about the beloved. Oh, I was talking to the beloved today. That's how she refers to Jesus and Mary and Luisa. We have to get to that point to recognize true love forgets who we are, our interests, but are focused on the interests of Jesus and Mary, the pains of Jesus and Mary, of everything that belongs to Jesus and Mary, to the beloved. And Louisa says, but I, Lord, how can one forget himself when one feels ourselves so much with all that's going on around us? Is it not something far away from us or separated, which could be easily forgotten? And again, Jesus added that it is precisely the sacrifice of true love that while one has himself, he must live of everything that belongs to the beloved. This is why the priest wears black. He's given up his life. He's given up his life, family, friends, neighbors. I mean, a priest is put in a different parish. So many people say, you know, you've forgotten about me. I haven't forgotten about you. It's just, I've got a new family now, a new parish, a new parish, a new parish. You know, and it's the priest has to die to his ego and his will. It says, it is precisely the sacrifice of true love that while one has himself, he must live of everything that belongs to the beloved, Jesus and Mary. Even more, if he remembers himself, this memory must serve him to become more industrious about how to consume himself for the loved object, for Jesus and Mary. See, we have to be that candle that's burning constantly. And as the candle burns, it just continues to melt. We saw this with John Paul II. We see this with Pope Benedict. The more he remembers himself, his memories must serve him to become more industrious about how to consume himself for the love of God, for the love of Jesus and Mary. And if the beloved sees that the soul gives all of herself to him, if when God sees the soul giving all of herself to him, he will know well how to repay her by giving all of himself and letting her live of his divine life. That's what we're proving. When we say to Jesus, I love you, he says, good, prove it. I have to see what your words are true. When the soul gives all of herself to God, God will know well how to repay her by giving her all of himself and letting her live of his divine life. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, speak in my speaking. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. So the one who forgets himself completely finds everything, Jesus says. This is what God is waiting for with us. He says, I've got this gift of gifts. I'm going to show you how and why it's going to happen. So those that have the book of heaven, as they begin to read it, Jesus is beginning to show the person to forget yourself, to focus on him and him alone. And this is what God is waiting for with us. He's really waiting for us to surrender, to be docile. Volume 6, April 29th, 1909. My daughter, my life, Jesus says, manifests itself in the creatures through words, through works, through sufferings. But what manifests it more clearly are the sufferings. So I have a friend that's always saying, why me? Why me? Why do I have it? All of us are suffering, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us are suffering. And Jesus says, my life manifests itself more clearly in suffering. This is the suffering servant. This is God crucified. What did he die to? He died to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's nailed to the cross with him. The sufferings that we go through are not as great as what Jesus and Mary went through, the new Adam, or even what Louisa went through. Jesus crucified her every day. Why? The Father says, I want her to be more like you, Jesus. The sufferings are essential. As Jesus said to Louisa, the sufferings are the stagecoach to heaven. All of us are suffering. And we have to learn to recognize that the one who really suffered is Jesus. And the closer we get to Jesus and Mary, the more we understand this, they're the ones that are suffering, and they're sharing their suffering with us to make us more like them. So the life of God in the soul is hope. And the more you hope, the more divine life you can contain within yourself. So Christian hope is certitude. It's not please, 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 please. It's hope is with confidence. I know God is going to do this. I know God's going to answer my prayer. He says that to Louisa. He says, don't worry about anything. I'll take care of everything. Jesus says to Louisa, you do what I want, which is to live in the divine will, and I'll do what you want. So the more you hope, the more divine life you contain within yourself. And since divine life contains power and wisdom and fortitude and love, the soul feels herself as though being watered by as many streams, for as many are the divine virtues. And so the divine life keeps growing within the soul more and more and more. And this is the joy that people have by reading the Book of Heaven. The divine life is changing us completely, completely. The things that we worried about, we don't worry anymore. We say to the Lord, thank you for showing this to me, Lord. Let it be done as you wish. I pray that everyone can be saved. I pray that everyone can share in divinity as you wish. And God goes, good, this is what I want. So the divine life keeps growing in us. But if you do not hope, both in spiritual things and through the spiritual, the corporal too, will participate. So again, Christian hope is certitude. And that's what our God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to have such confidence in him that in an impossible situation, 2 Kings 2:4, in an impossible situation, we have confidence in God. You're the Lord. I trust you. I don't understand this. I wouldn't do it this way, but you're God and I trust you. Divine life will be gradually consumed and it is completely extinguished. Therefore, hope, Jesus says, if you don't have this hope, the divine life in you will be gone. It'll be extinguished, blowing out the candle. Therefore, hope always. That's our confidence, our trust, our certitude is in God. We know he's going to take care of us. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Master. He came to earth. He died on the cross to redeem us. Mary co-redeemed with him. She was with him on Calvary, helping him die as she helped him come to life. Jesus is now asking us to enter into this abundant life. This is a glorious time to be alive, an amazing time to be alive. And our God is asking us, can you trust me, Jesus says. And we say, yes, Lord. He says, good, watch what I'm going to do. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.